Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts Bob Dancer and Michael Shackelford. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's in the Video Poker Hall of Fame, and he has written 10 books, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the Video Poker for Winners computer software. Michael Shackelford is the force behind the websites Wizard of Odds, Wizard of Vegas, and Wizard of Macau. An actuary by profession, Michael has been analyzing the whole gamut of casino games since 1995. His Wizard of Odds website explains the best strategies for 140 different casino games. Michael is also the author of Gambling 102, The Best Strategies for All Casino Games, and is a former adjunct professor of gaming math at UNLV. The goal of the show is that, by listening, you will be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Mike.
Good evening. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Mike Shackelford.
So, Michael, you're a little bit under the weather today.
Yeah, I'm not feeling very well today. I have a sore throat and coughing, so if you hear a lot of coughing on the air, I apologize. That's me.
All right. So if he comes with an attitude tonight, he's excused for one night only. Okay. Now, you got to get healthy soon because I just heard that you were going to climb the stratosphere. Now how soon is that going to happen?
Yeah. On March 3rd, they are having a fundraiser for the American Lung Association at the Stratosphere. It's a race to climb from the bottom to the top in the stairs, in the tower of the building. And the building is 79% the height of the Empire State Building. So that's on a pro-rata basis, that's 80.6 floors. I have not been practicing much for this. I've only hit the stair machine at the gym 3 times in preparation. I think that I'm going to make it. I don't think I'm going to have the most impressive time, but I'm looking forward to it, and I think it'll be fun. And there's a lot of discussion and betting on my website about what my time will be.
Is there an over and under about which floor you're going to puke on?
No one suggested that one yet.
Oh, that would be good. I don't know where I'd bet that. All right, good. Okay, so I wish you luck on that.
Thank you.
And good. So another, long as we're on Michael, he's a movie fanatic of sorts, and he bets on the Oscars. I've heard of people betting on NASCAR. He bets on Oscars. So on the Academy Awards, you're betting on it. So tell us about that.
I'd be happy to. And after my advice about betting the no safety, I'm sure some of our listeners are not going to be interested in my latest bridge jumper bet, which these are. But my basic strategy of betting the Oscars is to bet the big favorites. And I know that sounds square because normally in sports betting, it's good to bet the underdogs. But things are different with the Oscars. And for whatever reason, most of the time, the winners are pretty much known in advance. And you don't have to have access to the Hollywood buzz to know who is going to win. You can just go to any internet website and see what the odds are. For example, this year, the best picture The Artist is the big favorite. I had to lay 10-1 odds on The Artist, but I feel very confidently that it's going to win. Last year, for example, I bet about $55,000 on the Oscars and won every single bet. I didn't win that much money, only about $5,000, but I view it as very easy money. This year I've only got about $19,000 down.
But these are, if you win each of these bets, it's 500, but if you lose them, it's 3,000, 5,000, 6,000, something like that.
Yes, that's why they call them bridge jumper bets, because you don't really care if you win, but if you lose, it's very depressing.
Uh-huh. Sounds like no safety. All right. So on these internet casinos, is shopping around useful? Is one site, is the line going to be a lot different at one than another?
Absolutely. The lines will vary from one internet site to the other. The best one is PinnacleSports.com. They already took down their lines for some reason for the Oscars, but just about everybody else still has them up. And I think that they're good bets anywhere, but it's always good to shop around when it comes to betting the Oscars, sports, or anything like that. And I like to have as many outs as possible, but through the years, I've made about 90% of my bets on Pinnacle.
Huh. This is from a man who's sponsored by Bodog. Does Bodog have Oscar? Can we send him a tape of this show? Would that be embarrassing?
Well, you know, I put truth ahead of money, and yes, Pinnacle has great odds on all kinds of stuff. However, I think Bodog is stronger in other areas, but we won't get into the details. But yeah, and Pinnacle also takes much bigger bets.
Okay. Last weekend was a contest at the Palms. It was a heads-up slot tournament where 128 people, and you lose once and you're out, except on certain place a rebuy was possible. You could rebuy for $50. And then there were some wild cards where people were drawn to fill up the brackets. The equity, I wrote about it in this Tuesday's blog, so if you haven't read that, that's this. What I'm saying now might seem sketchy, but the equity was around $350 or so, $350. It was invitational. And the rebuy mathematically was absolutely the smart play. A lot of people didn't do it for a variety of reasons. Somebody came up to me and he said that, is it true that I entered and that I rebought and I ended up with zero? And I said, yep, absolutely true. I did all those things. And he said, well, he entered, he didn't rebuy, and he ended up with zero. So he considers himself $50 ahead of me for being smart enough not to rebuy. Now, he's not interested in, he's heard my kind of answers a lot. How would you answer that question, Michael?
My philosophy when it comes to gambling is that it's not whether you win or lose, it's whether or not you had a good bet. And with tournaments, rebuying is the right play 100% of the time in my experience. I'm sure there's been some exceptions, but usually the rebuy price is a big discount compared to what you would have to pay to get into the tournament in the first place or the kind of play that you need to do to get invited in the first place. And that kind of argument would be like somebody saying that the no safety bet was a lousy bet because it lost. No, you have to look at hundreds of or thousands or millions of a bet to know if it's a good bet or not. So, you know, much like someone could be playing 6-5 jacks or better and win, and you're playing 9-6 next to him and lose, that doesn't make the 6-5 player better than you.
And that's a different way of phrasing my point of view. People come into my classes all the time, and they're so happy and proud of themselves that they hit a royal flush, or they want to post it on VP Free. And depending on who they are, if I think they're a serious student, I'll ask them, well, what game were you playing? And it'll be a suitable game. If they tell me, well, it was 8-5 jacks or better, I shouldn't be playing the game, but I hit a royal flush and I'm so proud. If they're a total recreational person, I'll say congratulations. But if there's somebody who has a chance to be an advantage gambler, I will lay into them and I said, shame on you. You should not be playing that game. It might be my fault for not being able to convince you that that's a bad bet, and the fact that you hit a royal this time is essentially irrelevant. Make better game selection. And so, but recreational players do not want to hear that, so I try to bite my tongue.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat that you are. I agree 100%. My mother, for example, loves video poker, and I've been trying for years to get her to play the good pay tables, but she just absolutely believes that certain games are luckier than others, and she was just here a week ago and got a throwaway royal at the Suncoast and was just so proud of herself that I did not want to shame her by criticizing her for playing a bad pay table. So I finally gave up that fight and just said congratulations.
Yeah, and you let her take you out to dinner to celebrate. This is good. This is smart, Michael. All right. Now, next Wednesday, Leap Day, the South Point is having double points midnight to midnight. Except for the interval between noon and 9 p.m., they're having triple points, or 10 times points for slots. This is a big deal. And what it occurred to me is it sounds like triple points is only 50% better than double points. And that's not true at all. In many cases, it's 100% better. In many cases, it's more than that. For example, if one of their better games there that they have hundreds of machines is NSU Deuces Wild. Round numbers, this is 99.7. So single points, it was 0.30 there at the South Point, get you to 100% even. So on double point days, you have a 0.3 advantage. On triple point days, you have a 0.6 advantage. So that is like a triple point day is worth twice as much as a double point day if you're playing one of their best games. Now, I play quick quads, which is 99.65. So we're going from a 0.25% advantage on double point days to a 0.55 on triple point days. So that is more than twice as much.
Don't you mean 0.75? It's 0.25 on a regular day, right?
No, it's 0.30. So it starts out at 99.65. So on regular days, it's 99.95 single. On double points, it's 100.25. And on triple points, it's 100.55.
Okay, I understand.
And the reason I play the quick quads rather than NSU has to do with you can get more dollars per hour through the machine. So even though it can be a lesser percentage amount, it's a higher amount of dollars per hour. This is a big deal. And just people are saying, well, it's 50% more, not a big deal. But I think it is.
I agree, and I'm going to play this. And I haven't played the South Coast, the South Point in a long time.
Since it was South Coast, huh?
Exactly.
All right. Now, our guest tonight is Michael Bluejay. He used to work for you, Michael. Why don't you tell us about Michael Bluejay?
Michael Bluejay is a consumer advocate devoted to saving consumers money. His websites can help readers buy a house, save on airfare, electricity, and batteries. He isn't just about money. Michael's site also helps bicyclists help avoid getting hit by cars and find vegetarian restaurants and how to build a better website. However, I think our listeners will find his VegasClick.com website of the greatest interest. It details how to enjoy Vegas on a very shoestring budget, including where to stay, where to eat, and money-saving gambling tips. All of Michael's resources online can be found at michaelbluejay.com. In addition, Michael was also my webmaster and advertising salesman at Wizard of Odds for several years. Here to talk to us about how to enjoy a cheap vacation in Vegas is Michael Bluejay. Michael, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Oh, thanks for having me. And, you know, I love you guys, but there's nothing more boring than hearing two middle-aged white guys talk on the radio about math. So let's kick it up. Let's get this party started.
You help us do that.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of flattering the host is a good way to start?
I'm sorry. Okay. Bob, can I call you Bob? Should I call you Mr. Dancer? Could I call you Mr. Bob Dancer? Tell you what, I'm just going to alternate between those. So anyway, Bob, I think you and I have never met.
Leave time to answer a question that he asked? All right, go ahead.
Probably not. But I've been reading your stuff for years. Everyone knows who you are. You know, you're the guy when it comes to video poker. So even though I don't, you know, our paths may not have crossed, but, you know, I'm happy to be on your show. So and I should have said that right off. And actually, I planned to say that right off until I heard you talking about math and I kind of dozed off.
All right.
But anyway.
Enough of the flattery.
Okay. So, you know, the Wizard and I go way back. You know, I think we were in the war together or something. So anyway, what do you want to know?
Okay, well, let's start with some of your gambling tips. I know that you're a very experienced card counter. Tell us first, which count do you use?
Well, I don't count so much anymore. I used to do it, you know, back in the day. I'm not sure what kind of audience we've got here, but I'm going to assume that people don't know a lot about card counting, even though, you know, Bob talks to advantage gamblers. But people wonder, well, if you can do it, why don't more people do it? And that's going to explain why I don't do it anymore. The thing is, even though you have an advantage when you count cards, it's a tiny advantage. Like if you play without counting cards, you just play a regular game of blackjack playing proper strategy, you've got, say, a 49% chance of winning and a 51% chance of losing. You know, the casino doesn't have to kill you. They give you a game that's almost even, almost a coin toss, and they make their money on that difference. So when you count cards, you flip that around. So now suddenly you've got a 51% chance of winning and a 49% chance of losing. The odds are in your favor, but just barely. It's a sliver. So you could lose after playing for a day. You could lose after a couple weeks. You could lose for a month or two. You could, and so you've got to have enough money to last into the long term. You make it the long term, you'll come out a winner. But, you know, if you don't have enough money, then you're going to bust out before you can realize your advantage. So to make, say, $20 an hour safely, you've got to have $20,000 in the bank to back you up. So if you're the kind of person who has $20,000 in the bank, you probably got a better gig going on than sitting in a smoky casino making just $20 an hour. Whereas on the other hand, if $20 an hour, if that sounds like a lot of money to you, you're not the kind of person who has $20,000 to back you up. So basically, if you can afford to count cards, you don't need to. So that was my basic situation. When I counted years ago, and I was undercapitalized, and I nearly lost everything. And I know, Wizard, you kind of advised me that I was doing it wrong, and I knew I was, but, you know, I was going to try it anyway. But this is, you know, many years ago. So now I have enough money to do it, and so it doesn't really interest me anymore because I've got a better gig going on. So if I go to Vegas, I might do it a little recreationally, but I'm never going to take the casino for any serious amount of money.
Well, I think we can assume that our audience is pretty savvy when it comes to gambling, so
okay.
You can give it to us a little bit heavier. And I knew that you were a big proponent of the knockout count for its simplicity.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on why you
like
that?
I never answered your question, did I? I talked for 20 minutes and I didn't answer. Well, you know, you and I argued about this for a long time, and I think maybe you finally came around. But it's just a fantastic count. It's a very simple count. It's unbalanced. The nice thing about it is you don't have to divide by the number of remaining decks because it's an unbalanced count. I mean, these days, this is, you know, a lot of people, if the audience is savvy, then they know about it. But, you know, it's been around for a while. You know, when I started using it, it was brand new. And it's the simplicity really, it allows you to do a lot more. It allows you to not have to pay such close attention to what's going on. So you can interact with the dealer more, with the pit boss, with whoever else is at the table, and look less like you're counting cards. You will also make fewer mistakes. So, you know, if people are saying, oh, well, this other count has a, you know, 0.02% better, well, in theory it is if a computer is counting, but, you know, people are not computers and we make mistakes. And if you make fewer mistakes, I think that's just gold. So that's why I like that count.
Other than blackjack, what other gambling sorts of activities do you use?
I don't really play anything other than blackjack when I do play, and like I said, I don't even play that much anymore. But it is kind of funny that I was in Vegas recently, or last time, a friend of a friend came to town. She wanted me to give him some gambling tips and gambling lessons. So, you know, I took him to the craps table because, you know, it's something I can teach him the pass line pretty easily. And it was interesting because, you know, I'm not used to playing games where I have a disadvantage. And, you know, when I played blackjack, back when I used to, you know, play blackjack, I'd put, like, you know, $100 to $800 down at the table and not blink because, you know, I knew the odds were in my favor. But teaching my, you know, this friend how to play craps, I had a hard time physically putting that $5 chip down on the pass line, you know, knowing that my expected value on that bet was -7 cents, you know. It wasn't that it was 7 cents. It was just that it was negative, you know. I'm not used to being on that side of the line.
So it's against your religion to make a bet where the house has the advantage.
It's not religion like a principle. It's just like a feeling in my gut, you know. I just don't feel, you know, I don't feel comfortable. It's like when you watch A Clockwork Orange, you know, that movie, and your stomach just turns. It kind of felt like that. But the only other thing I did play, I went with my sweetie, and we played you know, she's from Japan. They don't have casinos in Japan, so it's a big deal when, you know, we got to play in the casino here. And she's like me. She's super frugal, and she's scared of losing money. So we played first penny slots and then penny video poker, one penny at a time, not even betting max coin here, you know. And she would get so excited when she got three of a kind and won 3 cents, you know. And, you know, we played for a couple hours and, you know, maybe, you know, lost 60 cents. So anyway,
she's having fun,
I'm having fun. What?
Yes. It must have been a terrible pay schedule to lose that much all at once.
I don't know. I might have, you know, I can't remember clearly, but, you know, I did play penny slots at the Circus as part of my experiment to see whether you could get served drinks, you know, playing, you know, the low stakes games, because, you know, I have this website where I try to give tips to readers, and they're always looking for free stuff or cheap stuff. And, you know, I learned, you know, I don't drink, so I didn't really consider if that's what, that was a real goal of people, especially the younger people. When I stayed at the hostel in Las Vegas on my first trip to Vegas, I mean, they were all about trying to go to the casinos and just get these free drinks, you know, over, you know, except for, you know, the tips for the cocktail waitresses. So, and I went to Circus Circus and played penny slots slowly, and man, right on clockwork, 7 minutes later, the cocktail waitress was there to take my order. And while I was waiting for my drink, I accidentally won $2. So,
oh dear.
But that, you know, I had a dollar profit after the tip for the drink.
You mentioned a hostel.
Yes.
I don't know of any hostel in Las Vegas. I know some hostel. Dealers. But.
Yeah. Well, there are two. I don't know if business went down after that movie came out, but there was a, and actually I know, Wizard, you wanted to ask me about that, but unless things have changed recently, there are two. There's one that was down on Fremont Street near the old Western, rest in peace, and there's one right on the strip in that no man's land between, actually I say it's on the strip, it's on Las Vegas Boulevard, in that no man's land between the strip in downtown, that's filled with, you know, pawn shops and porn stores and wedding chapels. There's actually this one place, I think it's still there, where there's a porn store right next to a wedding chapel. And it's just, you know, it's an iconic thing. You know, I mean, that's worth the tourist picture, I think, you know, one-stop yes. shopping. But anyway, so yeah, there are two. And hostels, if anyone doesn't know, those are places where instead of renting a room, you rent a bed. And there are 6 to 8 bunks in the room, and you know, it's cheap. You know, I don't know what it is these days. When I was there, it was like 10 or 11 bucks a night. This was back in the early 2000s, and I actually stayed there for quote free, because you know, I got a gig there cleaning rooms during the day, but you know, it would take 3 hours to, you know, our shift every day to you know, clean the rooms at the place.
Well,
so you know, that's actually made less than minimum wage.
Yeah, let's look at that math. 3 hours to spend to save $11, or if that's what it was, puts a pretty low price on your, pretty low value on your time.
I did it for the experience. I mean, I can do that math. You know, I'm not as dumb as I look, even though you can't see me over the radio. But you know, I did it for the experience. I cleaned with this guy from Belgium, and he was a great guy, and you know, it was fun.
Okay, I remember that. Getting back to blackjack, I've observed you play lots of times, and I always enjoy it. You always play a different kind of character or persona at the table. Can you tell us about some of your favorite ones?
I don't know. You know, I got to tell you, Wizard, you may not know this, because you know that scientific principle that when you observe something, you change what you observe. So, you know, when you're at the table, I'm a little different. In fact, when I'm with you, I'm different, just because, I mean, you play it so straight that it makes me want to go the other way. I want to go like the Odd Couple out in Costello. So
it sounds like whenever you're with anybody, you're different.
Well, the Wizard, I know the Wizard's there with you, right? You know, so we got like I said, we got to get the party started. So I don't know. I try to be a lot more exuberant and excited when I'm around the Wizard, because I know it makes him happy, and I like to make people happy.
Good. Part of your website, michaelbluejay.com. It's filled with consumer hints on how to get more bang for your buck. One of the section is on airfare.
Yes.
Now, apparently you are against people flying, but if they are going to fly, you think they should follow some rules. So you may tell us why you're against flying, and then what are some of the hints for...
Let me say the way you phrased it, I mean, it's a little strong, although I guess it is essentially true. I stopped flying because of climate change. You know, planes use a horrendous amount of energy on a per-person basis. So a few years ago, I quit flying. And I still run the website because, you know, it gives me a way to get my message in front of people who are flying and maybe encourage them to take, you know, a different route. You know, within the United States, I take trains and buses. When I go to other countries, I take cargo ships. But when you are flying, The number one tip for getting the best deal is to be flexible with your travel dates. I mean, usually when people are searching for airfare, the first thing you do is they call up a search engine and they put in the days you want to fly. And that's like, as soon as they've done that, they've already lost, because whenever you pick specific dates, you're going to pay more. You know, what you want to do is to go one of the search engines that has flexible dates. Don't put in any dates and just let it show you what the lowest price is, and then you can find the dates that are available for that lower price and then try to fix your schedule accordingly. Of course, if you have no choice but to travel on certain dates, you know, then again, you don't have a choice and you have to do that. But if you have any flexibility in your schedule, the number one tip for saving on airfare is to be flexible when you fly and don't put in specific dates when you go to the search engine. And that ties into going to Vegas, because Vegas is a special market. And seasoned people know this, but you know, a lot of tourists don't, that the hotels in Vegas are 3 to 4 times as much on the weekend as during the week. So if you can, by any means, get to Vegas during the week, then you absolutely should, because you'll save a ton of money, and also you won't have to wait, and the lines won't be as long for anything you're going to wait in line for.
So I thought the search engines make you put in a date, but do you click that box that said, I'm flexible on my dates, or is there another way to do it?
It depends on the engine, but just look for the thing that says flexible dates, or look for one that, you know, you don't have to put in dates. But yeah, if you're married to certain dates, you're going to pay more. And every engine's different. They're always changing, so I don't want to point to one. Actually, I haven't seen them for a while. You know, I don't fly anymore. But, you know, poke around, you'll find it. I mean, most of the big ones have it these days.
Now, an alternative point to what you said is going for the real busy days and getting there early and trying to be bumped, where if you're bumped, you usually get this particular flight for free and a couple $100 towards future flights. So if you can get bumped, I don't know, one time out of four maybe, it is a more economical way than getting the cheaper fare. Is this something you ever do?
I did it once a long time ago when I had that option, but I don't know. I think it would take a special traveler who that would work for, because if you take another flight, especially if, you know, it depends on how late you're going to get bumped. You know, if it's going to be the next day and you've already have hotel reservations, can you change those? You know, I don't know. That would take someone with a strong constitution and especially flexible scheduling to be able to hope to get bumped and take advantage of that. But I guess it's possible. Anything's possible.
In fairness, I should mention that I first heard of that from Jean Scott. And something she wrote years ago.
Well, she would know.
And I have not read her recently about this. I assume she still advocates this, but that was where I originally got the idea.
Yeah, I used to do that in my poorer days. But getting back to gambling, one advantage play that I've never known anyone to have any interest in but you is the game Flip It.
And I have an advantage. I do that.
Well, then you're the second, but
I want to hear Bob Dancer talk about Flip It.
Okay, well, let's explain what Flip It is. Some people may not know, but that's that game where you put in a quarter or a token, and it flips the quarter onto a platform, and there's these pushing levers that push the quarters, and sometimes they collapse over the edge, and sometimes your quarter is the one that causes 50 quarters to spill over the edge. And the way the house advantage is there's two, like, gutters at the end, and if any quarters fall in the gutters, the players don't get those. And normally I do all my own writing on my Wizard of Odds website, but your analysis of Flip It was so impressive that I made an exception, and you wrote my Flip It page. So,
yeah.
But let's hear your how to correctly play Flip It if you can find the game.
Well, my strategy, I only do it on cruise ships where they haven't. And if I'm in the casino, on cruise ship casinos, I'm only there for the free drinks because there's no games to play. I will give the Flip It machine a hip check as I walk by. And if quarters fall in, out, when I do the hip check, I pick them up. And then I keep walking whether they do or not. So that's my total strategy on Flip It is hip checks. All right, your floor is yours, Mr. Blue Jay.
Well, that's not nearly as exciting as I'd hoped, but it's still worth hearing. Well, this is kind of, you know, it doesn't work anymore. I mean, you can't play Flip It because Flip It is nowhere to be found. I mean, I used to like the game just because it was a fun game. Okay, let's not run down where they used to have it. They used to have it at the Sahara. There is no more Sahara. You know, they had it at the Stratosphere. It's not at the Stratosphere anymore. They had it at the Four Queens. When I was living in the hostel, I used to go every day and go play Flip It. But all those places is gone, so you can't even play anymore. So it's kind of pointless talking about strategy. And I don't even really remember it very clearly. I'd have to go back and read that article that I wrote. I'm actually looking at it here. The update was March 1st, 2002. So we're like a week away from the 10-year anniversary of this article. I don't even remember what's in it. I'd have to go back and read it myself.
You had a strategy that had to do with how many quarters were hanging over the edge or something like that.
Oh, it's not like that. What I remember is that basically every machine kind of seeks its own equilibrium, and every machine is different because you're a physical machine. So, like, it might be normal, quote, normal for there to be, you know, three layers of quarters on the middle shelf, or a different machine, it might be five layers of quarters or two layers of quarters. So basically, it takes some play to figure out what the equilibrium of that game is. And basically, you just play the game when the coins are stacked higher than is normal for that game. So it's coming back to me now. Basically, it takes some play to figure that out. But once you figure that out, you just wait until other people have primed it for you and then play it once you've primed it.
Good stuff.
Another section on MichaelBlueJay.com is about bicycle safety. And this has been published in many other places, and you let people publish it for free as long as they credit your name for it. Now, you don't see a lot of bicycles in Las Vegas. Shirley and I live in Green Valley, and we would bike to Green Valley Ranch for buffet when I was still welcome to play there. And there was no bike racks. And and Green Valley is in the suburbs.
Yeah.
But so is there, you know, biking is not a regular mode of transportation around Las Vegas Strip, but most of us who live at home, sometimes it is. So what can you tell us about that?
Vegas is a mixed bag for biking. The good thing about biking in Vegas is that Vegas is mostly flat, unless you're going out to the mountains, and even then it's not too bad. So
you've never done the Red Rock Loop, clearly.
Okay. Okay. I mean, that's a little far out, but, you know, I mean, I used to bike from the hostel over to the Wizard's Place and then back to the Strip, and it's always fun going back to the Strip just because it is slightly downhill and you don't have to pedal that much. But otherwise, it's fairly flat, and that's good, and there are a couple of major streets that have a huge bike lane. I'm thinking like Sahara, I think, and Oki. Yeah, Oki is my favorite street to take back from the Wizard's Place back to the Strip. So that's good. The bad thing is, like, you know, for tourists, I mean, there is nowhere to park on the Strip. You know, I'm used to as a bicyclist here in Austin, Texas, which is where I make my home. You know, there's bike racks everywhere. And on the Strip, there's not. In fact, there's some places, you know, when you're on the Strip, it's you can't even get on to go into the buildings because there are you know, those barricades that go up and down the sidewalks. And then if you know, there are parking in the parking garages, but you got to find it. So, you know, the last time I was in Vegas, I was staying, you know, when I go there for extended stays, you know, maybe, you know, 3 to 6 months at a time. And I want to go to the new Whole Foods that's down in town center. But, you know, I'd have to take Las Vegas Boulevard South if I wanted to do that. There are no sidewalks. And the shoulder, you know, it's unpaved. It's rough. There's no safe way to get there. So I didn't go to Whole Foods just because there's no way to get there. I went to Sunflower Market. So there's a
Well, Whole Foods doesn't sound like your kind of place. Where we live, we've nicknamed it Whole Paycheck. And for a guy who is frugal, why would you want to be going to Whole Foods?
Well, the one thing I don't skimp on is food. I always promised myself, you know, when I was, not of means, when I had means, that I would start buying organic food, and I've done that. So, you know, my idea with my minimalist lifestyle, it's not to pinch pennies as much as not to waste. You know, I don't want to waste food, energy, you know, or anything that's manufactured and so forth. But, you know, we've all got to eat, and I want to eat healthy food. So there's not a whole lot of places in Las Vegas to buy organic food, but Whole Foods and Sunflower Market are two of them.
Okay. Let's get back to gambling. One of your favorite plays and one that I highly recommend is Terrible's 10% rebate on loss promotion. And if a player gets a loss in a single day of $500 to $999, he will get 5% of it back. And if it's $1,000 or more, he gets 10% of it back. And this is on any table game. And I think that this is an outstanding promotion if you play it correctly. You don't want to play there all day because then the house edge will grind you down and it won't be good anymore. But I know you did that a lot, so tell us how that went.
Well, I didn't do it a lot. I mean, I did it once, maybe like 4 years ago. So I'm kind of embarrassed because you're asking the question that I'm supposed to know about. Like, you know, I'm like flip it and like the Terrible's promotion. I'm like, I don't know. So it's basically just as you said. I mean, I can't, you know, you guys know much more about the map than I do. But it's an advantage play if you can stand the smoke at Terrible's. I mean, like, before you even open the door at Terrible's, the smoke will hit you in the face, you know. It's, you know, you got to cut it with a knife when you go inside. It's, you know, any amount of money that you can win in there, you've got to contrast with the amount, the number of days that you're knocking off your life by going into play. So, you know, just make sure you measure that when you figure out whether it's a positive EV.
Good point.
You think it's well named, obviously. You mentioned vegetarianism, or at least healthy eating.
Yeah.
That's going to appeal to relatively few of our listeners, but eating more cheaply in Vegas is going to appeal to everybody, or at least many people. Do you have any hints on eating more cheaply when you're in Las Vegas?
I don't know if it's going to appeal to as few as you think. I mean, about 5% of the U.S. population is vegetarian. That's 1 out of 20. And, you know, a larger number of that will, you know, are trying to cut back on meat or eat less. You know, let's see, while we can talk about the Wynn, you know, I don't know if you know, Steve Wynn went vegan some time ago, and as a result, you know, he's, you know, changed all the food offerings in the Wynn. So vegan food is widely available in that place, and it's well marked, which is, you know, what I always look for. You know, I'm looking for places that, you know, we don't have to offer a lot of vegan food, but at least they'll tell me what is vegan on the menu. That's nice. Let's see. You asked about, what did you ask? Oh, cheap eating in Vegas.
Do you take food with you? Do you take drinks with you when you go into the casino?
Oh, when I go to the hotel, yeah, absolutely. You know, I carry this little $15 hot plate with me, and you know, that's another reason. It's not just, you know, it saves money, and I can eat what I want. I mean, like, if I go eat in the casino, I'm not going to get organic food, but I can go buy my organic food, and I can eat brown rice and broccoli, and I can be very happy with that. So yeah, I strongly recommend cooking for yourself, or if you don't mind doing that. I'm sure not a lot of people, you know, everyone going to Vegas wants to splurge, but you know, I figure any money that you save on food is more money that you can spend on shows or any other entertainment that you want to do.
All right. So as you know, I used to offer a $20,000 betting system challenge on my site where I risked $20,000 to win $2,000 that any betting system could not beat a $1 billion bet simulation. And you have taken over where I left off, but you offer $30,000. And we only have 1 minute left, but can you tell the audience why you're doing it and what the terms are?
Well, the idea is, I you know, when you stopped doing it, I wanted there to be something on the internet to prove that all these people who were selling their systems, like, you know, you pay it, you know, send us $30 and we'll show you how to beat, you know, craps or roulette or whatever, that they're selling junk. And I, you know, I have $30,000 that says they're wrong, and no one's ever taken me up on it because they are wrong. And anyone who can beat roulette or craps is not going to sell their secret for $30 a pop. It should be pretty obvious, but just to prove it, you know, I've got the challenge, and there you go. No one's ever accepted it.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Appreciate you coming on the show. There's several more things on michaelbluejay.com that we didn't get to cover, so we may make you come back and see us again.
I am so pleased that you would consider that after my poor opening. It's been a pleasure. You know, this is like I said, I collect experiences, and now I can say I was on Bob Dancer and the Wizard Show, and so I'm as happy as a little girl.
You have been so nice, you no longer have to call me Mr. Dancer, sir.
Okay.
Good night.
Okay, you guys have a good night.
All right. Michael, what did we learn from this?
Wow. To be honest, I knew most of that already. Michael was my webmaster and advertising salesman for several years on my Wizard of Oz site, so we spoke almost every day. So to be honest, I expected all of that, but what did you learn?
Interesting point about taking a food plate into a casino.
Yes, he always carries around food with him, it seems like. And most people think, oh, well, I'm in a casino and I need to eat, so I'm going to go to a restaurant. But not him. He will reach into his backpack or his bag and pull out an apple and some bread and eat it.
Interesting. Now, I think one of the reasons Shirley married me is because I would take her to a casino and she wouldn't have to cook. And Shirley has many strengths, but cooking is not one of them. So we do eat eat a lot in casino restaurants where cooking isn't our thing. Let's talk about some our sponsors. The South Point has more than 10,000 video poker games, returning more than 99%. This is more than anybody else. There's going to be a 2x point days February 29th, except it's 3x points from noon to 9 p.m. We spoke earlier about this is a big deal. The casino has more good games than anybody else, and you're offering 0.9% in addition. This coming Wednesday's free video poker class is what video poker players should know about slot clubs. Slot clubs represent a key component for players seeking an edge. Some clubs are better for locals, some are better for tourists, some are better if you have certain requirements. We'll compare and contrast the various clubs in town and around the country. At the Palms, the Play, Earn, and Win promotion, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, for the last part of the month, has bigger prizes than have been offered before. The top prizes are an iPad requiring 175,000 video poker points in one day, iPod Nano requiring 65,000, and a Garmin GPS requiring 32,000. There are lesser prices down to a 5-pack of AA batteries for 400 points. The amounts on slot machines are quite a bit less, but I don't recommend you play those. Now, the last regular drawing for the month will be tomorrow night. Well, it's tomorrow if you're listening to the show live. And immediately following that drawing will be a special puzzle piece drawing. Now, in the regular drawing, 8 winners receive prizes. The top 3 get cash prizes between $1,000 and $3,000. And the lower 5 get lesser amounts of cash, $250 to $750. But they also get a piece of the puzzle. So of the 6 drawings, that's going to be 30 pieces of the puzzle. And so after the regular drawing tomorrow night, they are going to fill out the puzzle, and depending on which piece you have, you're going to get something. The average is 450, although most of the prizes are small and a couple are pretty big. Now, because of the higher cost of the PEW awards, Play, Earn, Win, it's going to take more play on average to get drawn. So however much you usually play, you now have a lesser chance to be get drawn. Now, main reason I'm telling you this, of course, is because I played a lot this week and I don't want the competition. So don't play tomorrow and let me win the drawing. That's actually my request. But don't tell the Palms I said that. Okay. Videopoker.com has a monthly contest. It started today and it goes until midnight leap day, 6 days from now. The game is 25 play, super times pay. You play 100 hand sessions, and the top scores win prizes. There are several prizes, but the top one is a $500 Visa card. With 100 hands, the best way to win is to be dealt good hands when you have a super times play multiplier. Dealt royal is 100,000 coins for a single multiplier, 200,000 coins if you have a 2x multiplier, etc. As of 6:30 tonight, which is near the end of the first day of the contest is on, the top score so far was 218,000. They do not have triple-double bonus, which would normally be the best game to play for this, because if you're dealt 4 aces and a kicker, you get 4,000 coins. So the top 2 games, and I'm not sure which is better, I haven't analyzed it completely, it's either double-double bonus, where 4 aces and a kicker get you 2,000 coins times whatever,
or the Atlantic City Joker Poker, where a dealt five of a kind gets you 4,000 coins. So the fact that the Joker Poker is only a 97% game and it's less than double-double doesn't really matter. To win this contest, you got to be dealt something good. Now, videopoker.com has various forums where members can post emails back and forth. I participate in several of these forums, and you can you have to be a member to do so, and there are a few rules, but the membership is free. So, Michael, last week I forgot to ask you what's new on The Wizard of Odds. I totally forgot the name of your website. I apologize. So this time, consider yourself asked twice. What's new on wizardofodds.com?
One page that I added recently was about a game called Beat the Dealer at the Turning Stone Casino in New York. It's a very simple dice game where the player rolls two dice and the dealer does, and the higher roll wins, but all ties go to the dealer, so that carries about 11% house advantage, so don't play that. However, I'm more excited about another slot machine that I wrote about up on my site. It's the game Lucky Larry's Lobster Mania.
Lucky Larry's Lobster Mania.
Mm-hmm. And normally slot machines are the one thing in the casino where the player doesn't know what the rules are, and he's basically betting on faith. And I want to end that. I want to open the veil that is in front of slot machines and show how they really work, and here is exactly the real stripping and all the math. And I wrote about Jackpot Party about a month ago, and I got a lot of positive comments about that. So this time I wrote about Lucky Larry's Lobster Mania, and this time I didn't have to bother playing the game. There is an academic paper out there that already explains all the math about the game that was obtained through the Canadian Freedom of Information Act. And so I basically got my information from this paper and analyzed the game and wrote it all up on my website.
And you're going to continue this and write on several other slot machines?
Yeah, I want to keep doing this and write about several more.
Well, good. There's only 950 different slot machines, so this may keep you busy for a while.
Well, most of them are going to be very prohibitive to do. The ones that involve bonus spins usually have separate reel stripping, and I need to observe about, 500 spins to have a good sense of every position on the reel strips. And it would take hours and hours and hours to get enough bonuses to see all the bonus reel stripping. So it's not worth several hours of my time to do. But I have my eye on the game Hexbreaker next, because those bonuses do not involve free spins, and they give the player all the information that they need to know. So all I have to do is play the game to figure out exactly what the reel strips are.
Okay, good. And the reel strips do not have to be physical. In other words, if they're virtual strips, the random number generator can make them, some positions happen more frequently than other positions. Isn't that true?
Yes, that's how single line slots work, where, for example, on megabucks, the megabucks symbol might have a weighting of 1, but the blank above and below it might have a weighting of 6 or 14 or whatever. So it's much more likely to stop on some symbols than others. But with video slots, which are probably 80% of the slots now, it's every single stop has an equal weighting because of all these different pay lines that go through the screen. It would just mess up all the math if the symbols had different weightings. So everything is the same, but there's the real strips can be very long. For example, 60 or 100 positions long. The game maker can make it as long as they want to because everything is video.
Interesting. All right. Last week we started a Michael Shackelford book giveaway. So every week we have a trivia contest, and he will give away a book, or I will give away a book. And last week's question was about the Brady Bunch TV game show. So how many correct answers did we have, Michael?
We had 0 correct answers.
Well, that is a round number.
And we only had 1 incorrect number, so I apologize to the audience. My question was evidently too hard, but at least I learned something about our audience. So I I had one pretty good guess, but it was still wrong. So I'm going to change topics and ask a gambling question this week.
What a novel idea for this show.
Okay, the question, and this comes from the blackjack ball 2 years ago, so my credit to Max Rubin or whoever thought of the question. What casino in Clark County has the most single-deck, 3-2 paying blackjack games? And no cheating, don't Google it, don't use the current blackjack newsletter. I want the answer to come from somebody who knows or is making an educated guess. Would you care to hazard a guess?
Well, you told me about this before the show, and I guessed the Riviera, because I have been in there, and they advertise good table games. I've not actually gone around and checked, so I would have guessed the Riviera, and you told me it was wrong, so which is the only reason I'm allowed to ask now, mention it, because that would kind of spoil the contest if I was right.
Yes, they recently added single deck 3-2 blackjack. However, it's only one or two tables, and I might add that you can only double on 10 and 11. But still, they are liberalizing their rules at the Riviera, so I always applaud that. So I'm still awaiting the correct answer from one of our readers. I mean, listeners.
Okay, good. And is the now you didn't announce the Brady Bunch answer? Is that contest officially closed, or is it still open?
Oh, I forgot to. Let's officially close that. The question was, in the episode where Peter built the volcano and it sprayed all over Marcia and her friends, this was a meeting of a snooty club that Marcia was trying to pledge. And the question was, what was the name of this club? And the answer is the Boosters. And sorry, nobody got that right.
All right. So on the new question, the most single deck 3-2 blackjack games in Clark County, if you think you know the answer, send us an email to gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Now, Michael, who is Elliot Jacobson?
Elliot Jacobson is going to be our guest next week. He is the author of two books on gambling, The Blackjack Zone and Contemporary Casino Table Game Design. I've known Elliot for a number of years. When I got to know him, he was teaching computer science at UC Santa Barbara, my alma mater, and I introduced him to the world of being a mathematician for hire, for people that invent new casino games or whatever the case may be. And he was so successful at it that he left teaching and now devotes himself full time to this. He's also very good at keeping top of all the latest advantage plays, and I think that he will be a very educational guest.
Yeah, the contemporary casino table game design is primarily, if you have a good idea for a table game, how to get it in front of the casinos. And that's the gist of that book. And so any of us who've had an idea about what would make a good game, whether it's table or video poker, for example, that's what that one's going to be all about.
And he also tells about what is a good game, because both of us see just terrible games all the time. And I'm sure that a lot of our listeners have, you know, invented some casino game on their kitchen table, and it's always in the back of their mind that I bet the casinos would just love this game. No, chances are they're going to hate it because it's way too complicated, and we'll talk to Elliot all about that next week.
All right. Oh, we got about 30 seconds. In 2 weeks, our guest is going to be Michael Gaughan, the owner of the South Point. If you have a good question for Michael, send me an email at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Keep in mind, we're already planning to ask him about mailers being affected by what games you play and whether or not you win. We're also going to ask him about players who've been 86th, if they have any chance to get back in and how to do it. So if you have any other questions, keep in mind, it's friendly. I teach classes there, and I want to continue doing so. So that limits a little bit what you can ask. But send in your emails, and in the meantime, go out and hit lots of royal flushes.
Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Michael Shackelford. Archived versions of past shows may be found on bobdancer.com and wizardofodds.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Michael Shackelford are both on Facebook and welcome your input or questions. Our sponsors are the South Point Hotel Casino and Spa, the Palms Casino Resort, the website videopoker.com, and the website wizardofodds.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.